And Father, we give you the glory and honor. Teach, inspire, instruct, empower, and anoint. In the name that is above every other name, Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Amen. As usual, I have been sharing with you the first 3 months of every year. I take the time to open up the themes and to let you appreciate what the theme of the year is for about 8 weeks to 9 weeks. And I'll be ending this in the month of March. And the topic I've been dealing with for the past 7-8 weeks is anointed and unleashed. Anointed and unleashed. We learned about the anointing. We talked about some things about the anointing. And one of the things that we spoke about the anointing is that the anointing will lead you into spaces and spheres. It will lead you into spaces and spheres. I did mention that a space and a sphere is a place where you can make impact. And I define impact as carrying a virtue into a space to cause a change. Impact is the virtue, the amount of virtue you carry into a space. And that virtue must cause a stir. It must cause a change. That is impact. So we look at the Valley of Elah. We situated this particular point about the anointing, which was the 8th lesson, that the anointing leads you into spaces. And then we pick the Valley of Elah as a case study to look at the battle between David and Goliath. We understood that Elah is a space. And we understood that the Bible says, in 17 of 1 Samuel 1 to 3, that the Philistine stood on the mountain on one side, and the Israeli stood on the mountain on the other side. Then he says, with a valley between them. A valley between them. Now the verse 4 is very revealing. The verse 4 is very revealing. And I'd like us to just look at the verse 4 again, because I'm going to talk about a subtopic on this part. It says, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out. Come on, say, came out. So if you see the valley as a space, then somebody must make impact within the space. So a champion by name Goliath stood up and walked into the space. That's what he's saying here. A champion came out from one side. And that's quite interesting, because he came from the side of the Philistine, not the side of the Jews. There came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion. And I explained to you that word champion is actually misrendered in the English. Because that word champion in the Hebrew is not the right word champion as translated by the English Bible. That word champion in the Hebrew is Banaim. And Banaim is the middle man. It means the man that stands in the middle. And I'm going to use this to illustrate the death of Christ this morning for us. Come on, say, the man in the middle. A man that stands in the middle. Now, a bit of the background to this will be very helpful. We are told about this man by name Champion. And if you know the English Bible, champion simply means a winner of a first prize. It means somebody who shows marked superiority. It means a militant. It means a fighter. It means a warrior. It means one that does battle for another. Maybe if you want to define championship in the dictionary of King Saul, King Saul told David, you are not able to fight him because he has been a champion from his youth. So by King Saul's definition, a champion is somebody who has a track record of success. So let's understand that that is championship, at least from the rendition and the mindset of King Saul. But within the context of this text, a champion from the background is somebody who stands in the middle. Now, what is that middle? You see, those days, battalions and warriors design another way of fighting. Because you see, if you have 1,000 soldiers from two fielding and opposing sides fighting, chances are that hundreds, if not thousands, will die. So from battalion A or the opposing side A, 4,000 soldiers, opposing side B, let's say 8,000 soldiers, both sides will lose soldiers. Now, soldiers have very much been used and very important in human history. They are used for defense. They are used to stabilize governance. They are used to oppose people who cause a disorder. So if you were a king, you needed a standing army. You wouldn't want to lose the army at all. So one of the ways of making sure you secured your governance and secured yourself and your state or nation state was to get a standing army. And the army must not be decimated when they went to war. So one way of making sure your army stood was to design a way of combating with the enemy. Which was that? You selected people who will fight on behalf of the entire army. The question is, why 40 days? Because this battle was not going to be direct combatant or directly combating one soldier to another soldier and all the soldiers. No. So for 40 days, a man by name Goliath, who was on the other side, had made a decision from the rest of the Philistines that you will be our middleman. You will stand in the middle for us. You will fight for us. And when you win the battle, it was deemed to have been won by the rest of the military. They didn't need to go and fight and have themselves killed. Once you fought for us, we have won the battle. And the Bible said that Goliath, who is described as a giant, he was 6 cubits and a span. A cubit is from your elbow to your fingertip. A span is from this to this, the distance. So you add that to here, from here, from here to here. Add it. And he is about 9 to 10 feet. At the height of a door is about 7 feet. So you look at the height of a door. And then Goliath is about 9 to 10 feet. Now, David should be about 15 to about 17 years. Now, look at a boy of that age. And then a man who is described as being a soldier from his youth. He was wearing a coat of mail that weighed about 90.7 kilograms. I am 75 kilograms. What Goliath wore alone is weightier than my weight. And if what he wore was weightier, then you can imagine how he can easily hold this guy and throw him off. That is why he dared the young man, come to me and I'll give your carcasses to the birds of the air, to the beasts of the field. That's why he told him. His iron spearhead, the spear he carried, the head of the spear alone was over 11 kilograms, 11.33 kilograms. We're talking about, as Saul describes, a champion. A champion. So the question is, why is this champion stepping in the middle? The answer is that he has declared himself as the contending rep for the other army. What the other army needs to do is to release a rep. And for 40 days, the other side of the contention could not process, neither release a rep. So every morning he would come and stand in the gap and say, I defy the armies of Israel. Choose a man. Come on, say, choose a man. Choose a man. I have dared to come forth. I have filled the space of Elah with my presence. I am a champion. Provide a champion. Choose a man. And let a man come and fight me. Choose a man. Every day he will step into the valley of Elah and say, choose a man. And time will fail me to espouse or expand on this. And why certain spaces are filled by wrong people and they dare the church. Choose a man from business to the marketplace to school leadership to every places. Choose a man. And the Hebrew word is banayim, is a middleman. Let there be a man that will fill the space. Let him stand between us and you. Choose a man. And Goliath made a definite statement. If he is able to defeat me, we shall become your slaves. But if I defeat him, he will also remain our slaves. That gives you an idea of what I said earlier. That there must be a middleman. And so the word there, champion, is a middleman. The man stood in the middle and cried, choose a man. First day, choose a man. Second day, choose a man. Third day, choose a man. The Bible said for 40 days. And I want to show you the impact of his cry within the valley. It says space. It says fear. He was distilling influence of fear, domination, and evil in the space. Look at the verse 11 and 23 of 1 Samuel 17. Verses 11 and 23. Look at it. Look at the impact of this middleman within the space. Shall we all read together? One go. Anytime he cried, let's go. Did you see that? That is influence. This is impact. That's why I said the amount of virtue, as far as Goliath is concerned, his voice and declaration is a virtue. It is something good for his people. And when he cried in the middle of the valley, everybody, including President Saul, was dismayed and terrified. Now look at the verse 23. Look at the verse 23. Let's go. Oh, come on, we are not reading as if. Let's go again. He did what? He did what? So one of the days, the middleman stood again in the middle of the two hills in a valley called Elah. And that cry was a wrong cry. Because a challenger had descended into the camp. And the Bible said David had been sent by the father. Son, come. Take this bread. Take it to your brothers. Check on how they are doing. I explained to you that those days, if you went to war, the soldiers needed provisions. And so one of the contributions of those who were civilians was to check up on them and see how they were doing. So Jesse, an old man from Bethlehem, was doing his civic responsibility.
He was calling a son, take this bread and go and check on the brothers. Bring me good news. And as the guy went to the camp and was talking to the brothers to check up on them, at the very time, now look at this test carefully. Because in verse 11, the guy will come to the camp and cry, choose a man, I defy you. And he uses abusive words. But on one occasion, he descended into the camp and it was a wrong time. Why? Because God paired the entry of David into the valley of Elah. He paired the time with the negative declaration of Goliath. He delayed a little bit, sent the boy on time, and as the boy was in the camp, the man came and cried, I defy you. Then the Bible said, David heard it. Come on, say, David heard it. Now one more time, say, David heard it. I'm going to draw some typologies between David and Christ. See, David heard it. Now, if you're a student of the Bible, you should understand, for example, right from Exodus, the chapter number 1 through to about 3, when the Lord came to Moses in the chapter 3 and said, I have heard. In fact, the chapter 2 ends with the crying of the people and the way they are being treated. Then the verse number 3 said, and Moses, who was a shepherd, was taking care of his in-laws' flock, and on this particular day took them to the far side of the desert. And then he saw a strange spectacle. And he said, let me go closer and look at the spectacle. Then as he got closer, a voice spoke and said, don't get closer. Take off your shoes. I am the father. I'm the God of your father, Abraham. God, blah, 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 blah. Then he said, I have seen my people's cry. I have heard their cry. No, I've seen their misery. I have heard their cry and I am concerned. Three key words. David heard. Now, that word he heard is a redemptive clause. David heard. He heard that the champion is in the middle, declaring who is coming to contend me. Who is coming to contend me? Choose a man. Oh, time will fail me to tell you about how sin conquered man and place us in the valley of evil. How sin broke us. How it destroyed a link between us and God. In the account in Genesis chapter 3, to the extent that when Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord, they heard his ambience in the middle of the garden, they were escaping, they were running away. That is the power of sin. It broke us. It took us into the middle of evil. The Bible says, whoever does not know the Son is dead, and the wrath of God abounds. That's why Paul was speaking in Ephesians 2 and says that you, once upon a time, who were far away, aliens, removed from the commonwealth of Israel, but by grace have been brought. So we were object of wrath. That is the valley of evil. David got to the valley and heard. Oh my God. One day heaven heard something. Heaven heard the cry of humanity. Heaven heard the cry of the evil works of the devil. Heaven heard the cry of how Satan had held men down and breaking them. Heaven heard the cry of how Satan was taking the power of God from us. We were given dominion to rule the earth. Genesis 1:20 says, and the Lord said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion. That dominion was taken away from us. In the account in Luke 4 and Matthew 4, when the devil encountered Jesus, he told Jesus, if you will bow down a little to me, I will give you all this kingdom, for it was handed over to me. Who gave it to him? Man. Man handed the thing to him. And the Lord heard the voice of the cry of the sons of men who were made in his image, who were broken, who were completely dead to sin. The devil had taken control. The devil did not allow us a space. We have been completely destroyed and sent somewhere. We have lost it. We have lost it. We have lost it. But David heard. Give me Galatians 4:4. Look at it. Look at Galatians 4:4. David was in the valley on time. Look at Galatians 4:4. I want us to read together. Galatians 4:4. One, go. Come on, say, when the set time. I can't hear. Say, when the set time. When the set time had fully come. So there is a time when redemption is unleashed. There is a time when God steps into situation. There is a time when the arm of evil is broken. I have declared to you some time ago that in the kingdom, evil is not given perpetuity to thrive. There is a time when God takes over the battles of men. He said, but when the set time had fully come, God sent. Can I hear sent? One more time. Say it as if you are in church. Declare it as if you are a redeemed person. Let the redeemed of the earth come and say, God sent. And just as Jesse sent his son David. I'm drawing parallels. Parallels are what we call types. Jesse is like God. David is like Christ. Jesse called his son David and said, take this bread and go into the valley. God called his son Jesus and said, take your life and descend unto the earth. I have a people, they must be saved. God called his son when the time was fully set. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So, the Goliath guy, the champion, the middleman, the Barnaim, stood in the middle, but there was nobody standing in the middle for us. Nobody stood in the middle for the Jews. There was nobody. And the guy kept calling out, choose a man. Choose a man. Choose a man. You know, when we were growing up, there was this song that we used to sing in some churches. Me po bi ma soma no, jonya me soma, soma me na me ko. Me po bi ma soma no, menya me soma, soma me na me ko. It's referring to Christ. God was sending him on earth. But what I want you to just see, that Jesus, David becomes a parallel in the Old Testament of Christ, who descended into the valley of human damnation and condemnation. When you step in the valley, one of the principles we see about the valley is that once you step into the valley, a champion must be unleashed. Once you step in the valley, somebody must take up the battle. So whilst the Philistines have somebody taking up the battle, the Jews, who will represent the people of God, didn't have anybody standing for them. They feared. They ran away. They screamed. They yelled. Anytime the guy scream, choose a man, the king and the people run away. They are running away gives us a picture of the men in the Old Testament God attempted to use. Genesis 12. And God called Abraham and said, leave your people, leave your kindred, go to a place I will show you. I'll bless you and your children. And out of you shall the families of the earth be blessed. If you read this description and it doesn't give you an impression of a potential redeemer, you haven't read your Bible well. A man was declared by God as a decider of the changing destinies of men. Out of you shall the families of earth be blessed. Now think about that. If that person was not a potential redeemer, think about it. Out of you, I will curse those who curse you, and I'll bless those who bless you. Abraham was a filter for a redemptive enterprise. God was to use him for an agenda. But he didn't measure up to the right man in the middle. He did not. When the time presented itself, he took his own slave girl and married or went to bed with her and got her pregnant. The Lord came to him in 17 of Genesis and said, Abraham, I'm the Lord your God. Walk before me and be done, be perfect. Oh, Noah, even before Abraham, great God. Now, if you look at the creation story, by the time you get to Genesis 6, it is as if Noah is a new Adam from whose genealogy God is repopulating the earth. Because every human being is being wiped off. Every living creature is being destroyed except those who were in the ark and Noah's family. Then the Bible says, and through them, God began filling the earth. But one day, when the guy realized that, hey, man must enjoy himself, but didn't know be firewood. He planted a vine, got the wine, and enjoyed himself to stupor until he became naked. Ah. Elijah, the man that called fire from heaven to lick up water and even eat up stones. The guy whose speed was more than a horse and a chariot. The guy who received a second anointing. What? The guy who was just, you know, used his cloth and split Jordan. That guy was great too. In fact, at a point, he wanted to die. He told the Lord, I am no more than my fathers. Take my life. Kill me. Today, he's enjoying heaven. He wanted to die, but God spared him. And he's in heaven. And you and I are here. Ah, God, too, why did you do that? The guy wanted to die. Let him go small. God didn't allow that. Chariot of fire carried him. He too could not be a potential middleman. Or maybe he's a man of God. You haven't exhausted the list. Take your time. Elisha. His bones can raise the dead. When he was far gone, there was enough power and virtue residing in the corridors of his bones that when a man who was dead was cast and maybe some part of his body touched a part of the bone, the man came alive. The bones were still distributing life, and the guy was long gone. But when he had a chance and he was mocked, he called animals to eat children. Jesus was mocked. You don't know that. Somebody spat on his face. The guy hadn't pasted. And Mukanka Umache, Essenciabo Asumfo. He called animals to eat up children. That guy doesn't measure up. Oh my God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. President, you can imagine Elisha as your middleman. Now one day you came to church and you messed up, you were late. He said, die at the gate. I'm telling you, he said, die at the gate. Huh? Like my father told me, he said, my son haven't been around for some other. I say, hey, you haven't been around. I'm Elijah. Go back. That's Elijah. He is intolerant of human frailties. And so he could not allow children. No, when we were children, tell me, those of you who were still here, when we were children, we used to laugh at some people. You tell me, who hasn't laughed at some adult? If you haven't laughed at an adult, what do you pay answer? When you saw some adult, when I was growing up, there was this man, 1983, a common by him. Come on, Tobia! Mami be here, Kokonte. When we go, Kokonte, face the wall. And then the woman will get up and prepare the Kokonte and then the, you know, the Katakwano. Then the man went and dressed white, painted his face. He was hungry. He jumped through the window and got there. The woman saw the man. They said, hey, Akram Foy, say, Hoyo, may your samai. And the woman is so bold, he picked up the Kokonte, and hit him. Then the guy said, Ajay. I say, Osamai, Auntie Ajay, where you nipa? Look at that. And we were laughing at this man when we were growing up. We'll be laughing at Hoyo, may your samai, and then he would chase us. Children will do that. Elisha had no tolerance for children. We see once, now I want to just follow me carefully. One day, children were coming to Jesus, and the disciples were stopping them. Jesus said, suffer not. Stop what we are doing. I am more than Elisha. Allow the children to come to me. Imagine if Elisha was your middleman. Some of you did not come to the all night. All of you would have been on your bed. You can't get up. When I come here, I say, by the spirit of Elisha, if you couldn't come for the honor, stay on your bed. Don't get up. Ah, lift up your hands. Jesus. Thank him. Thank him for just 10 seconds. Just thank him. Thank him for 10 seconds. Just thank him. Just thank him. Sometimes, you know, we take the blood for granted. We take the middleman for granted. We take Christ for granted. I'm going to show you some scriptures right now. Look at me. Look at me. And I hear some of you said, oh, man of God, you haven't really exhausted the list. Okay, I know. I know you are talking about Job. The oldest book ever written in the Bible. The book of Job is older than the book of Genesis. That is the oldest book of the Bible. The Bible said in Job 1 that even God himself declare to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? That he's not blameable. He's the righteous who was declared by God as the righteous. Yet, when the Lord allowed the devil to strike him and his friends began worrying him, Job began talking. He began talking. Then God came on the scene. He said, shut up. Shut up. Where were you when I was laying the foundations of the earth? Job, how are you? When I called the foundations of the earth and I called the angels, where were you? Job repented and said, Father, forgive me. I have heard you, but now my eyes have seen you. Because you see, the pain of Job cannot be compared to the pain of Christ. Christ also went through pain. The only thing he did is Eloi, Eloi. Lamak Sabachthani. He never complained. He never condemned God. As John began talking anyhow, no. Even when he was struck, he told the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not. Huh? Who is your middleman? Who is your middleman? Who is your middleman? Job complained. Oh, let me add one more. David, incredible young man, who had perfected the art of surgery and warfare by killing lions and bears. In this contest, he's also a middleman. I'm giving you Old Testament potential saviors who did not match up to the divine requirement.
He killed Goliath. He changed the song in town. If we had TikTok and social media, David would be trending. The women composed a new song. They did away with the old song of Saul. Now when they were coming for the war, they said Saul had killed thousands, but David his 10,000s. The song has been changed. The women will always be the lead in social media. They do a lot of things because women are relational. And then Saul realized that, hey, his time was up. A guy had appeared in town. 3 times he was anointed. He was anointed by Saul. He was anointed by his brothers over Judah. And he was anointed by the entire Jewish elders 3 times. Amazing young man. David went for war. Never lost battles. Did battles for the Lord. The Bible said that, and David conquered all the nations around and he rested. The guy had power. He was a mighty guy. Yet the Bible said one day when kings go to war or went to war, David was in the palace and at the top, the terrace, resting and saw a woman who was bathing. He asked, who is that woman? They said, the wife of Uriah. He said, bring her. You know the story. He did not only commit adultery, but killed. He murdered. Oh, David. Psalm 51, he prayed, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Every Old Testament saint who was a judge, who was a champion, who was a leader, who God can use, who was a middleman, they are parallels. They give us a crude estimation of what God wanted to do amongst humanity. They only went up to the extent to which they can go. They couldn't take us far. They went only one step, second step, and then they were stopped. But the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, we are looking for a perfect man. When the time has fully come, God sent his son, Amagadataya. And Jesus came on the scene and stood in the valley. So what we're seeing about David in the valley of Elah is a type of Jesus. He's a type. A type means that he represented Christ in the Old Testament theology and redemptive enterprise. He is a type. He stood in the middle. He defeated Goliath. But you see, that over and over and over again, the Philistines will come. They were a notorious horde. And Israel have to go and fight and fight and fight and fight. So he's not the perfect replica of what God wanted to do. Jesus once went into the valley of Elah. Not twice, not three, not four, not five. Once stood in the valley of Elah, which is the valley between, or the chasm between God and man, that sin separated us from God. And with one blow, just as David used one stone, with one blow, Jesus won victory for you. Your father who lived 300 years ago, the blood is sufficient. Your sister who lived 40 years ago, the blood is sufficient. The blood is sufficient for my children. It's sufficient for my children's children. I trace my history and I realize that my parents came from Kumeu. My mother came from Kweu. And then at the pan, my grandmother comes from, you know, Ebri. And I live in Enum. Now this is about 300 years. And the blood is self-sufficient. My goodness. The blood is powerful. One shot. And so I declare over your head, the man that stood in the middle, it's more than Elijah, it's more than Elisha, it's more than Abraham, it's more than Moses, it's more than Jacob. That is why Jesus said, before Abraham, I am.
Abraham, I am more than Abraham. He's more than any power, any force, any man that stood in the middle. I see a man that stood in the middle for your redemption. And it's the reason why you will never go down. Sometimes you get terrified. When the Goliath cried in the wilderness, you get terrified and you're worried. And you feel that that is the end of you. But I came reminding you, a man stood in the valley, not yesterday, 2,000 years ago. And standing in the valley is sufficient. Tomorrow it shall be sufficient. 10 years ago, the blood is still speaking. 20 years to come, the blood will speak. You will die and go, and the blood will speak. You can be poor today, and the blood is still speaking. You can be sick in your body, and the blood is still speaking. You can feel the pinch, and the blood is speaking. You can say, I am poor man of God, and the blood is speaking. You can say, the man of God, I am confused, but the blood is speaking. You can say, I am late, but the blood is speaking. You can say the pain is too much, but the blood is speaking. The man is standing in the valley of Elah with one stone, and the Bible said that he has won victory. What did Peter tell the people? He said, what shall we do to be saved? And he said, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. For the promise is unto you and to your children. Between now and December, let the blood work. I decree the blood between now and 2026, let the blood work. I decree the blood between now and 40 years, let the blood work. That is why I am confident of the future. Why? Christ in us is the hope of glory. Stamp your feet, clap your hands, and give God the praise. Jesus, the middleman. Jesus, the middleman. Jesus, the middleman. Take your seat for 5 minutes. Jesus, the middleman. He's the middleman. He's the middleman. Come on, say the middleman. One more time. For the last time. He is the middleman. He is the middleman. Now, I'd like you to just read these scriptures with me quickly. And tempting up for. So we see some parallels between David and Jesus. David was a young shepherd when he defeated Goliath. In John, the chapter number 10, verse 11. Jesus is often referred to as the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. David is a shepherd. But there is a qualifier here. There is what we call a good shepherd. I can't hear you. Come on, say a good shepherd. One more time. For the last time. You see, as your pastor, I'm a shepherd. I can be good in my own estimation. But the good shepherd, as the scriptures say, is Christ. He is my... He's the one I am looking at. I'm looking at the good shepherd to mimic and imitate, learn from him. He said, I am the good shepherd. And listen to what he says. The good shepherd lays down his life. Come on, say, he lays down his life. Hey. When I went to Apostle Ntumi's funeral, I'm quite a reflective person. What hit me the most when I read his biography was the war in Liberia. Apostle Ntumi doesn't owe any member anything. It is war. And when there is war, everybody finds a space for freedom, true or false. So he could have entered into a car, carried the family, and come to Ghana. Yeah.
As I'm preaching, if something happens, afar. You don't know the human instincts. Now, what a person to me did was to defy the law of self-preservation. Because somebody will say, love your neighbor as yourself, love your neighbor more than yourself. And then as I sat down, I asked myself, what a man. Papa, go. He said, no. Now, those of you who have not heard the story, please listen carefully to it. He said, on one of his interviews, he said, we were stripped naked. Did you hear that? No, did you hear that? How many of you heard that? Yeah? That was a man of God. He was stripped naked. So, pastor and the members all together, yafrafra. Maybe you don't understand what that means. Yachi member, Yachi sophomore, he was an apostle. Me and Yinari baby no biya nam naked, langa langa. No, think about that. I just sat down and reflected. I was just looking at my potential response. One day I used to stay with a friend, my brother. And those were the days when you have to step out to go and attend to nature's call. Papa, I went to a place. I was an elder. I became an elder in my teens. So when I go out like that, I don't show my face. Because if you are in, you know, those days when you go to attend to nature's call, it's a queue. Somebody sat by and he was selling the paper. How many of you recall that then? And you can get there and say, Osi Asa, Unkuri Aodea, this is a and do an ote. Then I spotted a member four cells behind me. Member not so open, or a sanguine Pro Max. Oh, who are better? Hello, Papa, please. So I was holding a hat. Me, who are me choking me? Choking this lady. Because Obabi Chiami, maybe I want to see in Chiami power. No, I say. Because he wanted to see, so I was straight, so that the others will cover me up. Hello, no, I say. Then there, she moved. Ah, Eda, praise him, oh. Now, how do you come praise him, mama? Look at how I was feeling in such circumstances. And this was an apostle who was stripped naked. Even he in this cannot be considered as perfect, because there is only one perfect man, Jesus. Just giving you something. And he says, I am the good shepherd. Come on, say the good shepherd. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Not only that, David is considered, number two, as having won the victory over Goliath through faith. It was not by human strength. Goliath held a spear. David held something unconventional. You don't go to a war with a stone and then a tire. You don't. It's unconventional. You go to war with a spear. You go to war with a shield. You go to war with a sword. That was why King Saul dressed David in his own attire, in his own armory. But David said, I am not used to this. And then he rejected it and took five stones, took his staff. And then the man told David, why are you coming against me with a stick? Do you think I'm a dog? But David told the man, you come against me with spear, bow, and arrow. I am you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. In the same way, Jesus conquered sin and death through faith,
through spiritual means, not earthly weapons. That's the Bible says that if the kings of this world knew, because my God, how can you just say that a man dying on a cross? The cross represented the finality of criminals under the Roman government. Criminals died on the cross. Anybody on the cross was a cursed person. So how can a cursed man declare redemption over you? Yet, the Bible says, the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. So he conquered sin through spiritual weapons. I like you to see David's weapons, which were unconventional, as spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons. And Jesus conquered sin. How can he conquer sin? By death on the cross. To man is foolishness. But you sit here justified, sanctified because of Jesus. Number three, David was declared as anointed. Yet, even his brothers rejected him. He was anointed by God to be king over Israel. Before he took the throne, 3 times he was anointed. Jesus is called the anointed. That word Messiah in the Hebrew and the word Christos in the Greek means the anointed. The anointed. He was anointed by God, but he was also rejected by his own people. In fact, Isaiah 53 and the verse number 3 says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we esteem him not. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 3. Number 4, David used a stone to defeat Goliath. This is symbolic. In the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the cornerstone. Come on, say the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone or the foundation of faith. Ephesians 2:20 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. But one of the parallels with which I'm ending and which I started with right now is the fact that Jesus is the middleman. And the New Testament, that middleman is the word mediator. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, say the mediator. I can't hear. Come on, say the mediator. One more time, say the mediator. One day I went, make a can talk about me. Talk about how to me. The guy beat me up. And then when I felt like giving up, a big guy came. Then he asked the guy, why are you beating this guy? He said, he was messing up. Then the guy said, you're a very stubborn guy. Then I got up and I dressed up. Then I stood behind my man. I said, well, my papa. And they were fighting. Then I'll be holding the waist of the man fighting for me. Money, huh? Kicking, huh? Fans, I want any. And the woman here meant to me, hey. When I got the middle man, I didn't fight the battle. You know, I was reading something yesterday and I saw our former chairman, one of the statements he was making about Goliath and David. He said the mistake Goliath made was that when he saw David, he took the battle from the realm of the physical to the realm of the spiritual. But you see, as soon as the battle changes state, once the battle is in the realm of the spiritual, it is not the man who fights, because God takes over the battle for you. That is a mistake Goliath made. Jesus is the mediator. Come on, say the mediator. Come on, say the middle man. Oh, I can't hear. Say the middle man. The scriptures offer profound testimony about Jesus as the mediator between God and man. He brought salvation and sacrifice through his sacrifice. This middleman role, theologians will say, is a salvific role. In other words, the middleman role brings salvation. The role delivers salvation. And I'd like you to just pay attention to this particular text. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Come and say, one mediator. I can't hear you. For the last one, let's read Hebrews 9:15. Hebrews 9:15. Hebrews 9:15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant, did this so that you will also do it for others. Just as he stood between God and us and brought us redemption, so is the believer called to stand between Christ and the unbeliever. May you be the middleman for the person who doesn't believe. When the Bible says we are ambassadors of Christ, and it says that God through Christ is reconciling us unto himself, and we are the messengers of the message of reconciliation, he is saying that he has passed on the baton. The baton of mediatorship, of middleman, of bayanim. Be the middleman as we make impact in 2024 to 2028. I decree, be the middleman. At where you work, be the middleman. At your office, be the middleman. At the market, be the middleman. In your home, be the middleman. God is looking for middlemen. Occupy a space. Fill the space with the virtues of the kingdom in your spirit. Who wants to be the middleman? Let me see your hand. I want to be the middleman. And I saw you also want to be the middleman. I want to be the middleman. I want to be the middleman. The middleman. And then Jennifer. How Ghana is looking for middlemen. Who are middlemen? Right-minded people. Middlemen are the right-minded people chosen by God. The church is a machinery of the kingdom to the world. The Bible says that also that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, there is a wisdom of God that does not reside in unbelievers. It resides in the church. The believer becomes a carrier of the manifold wisdom of God. You must be the middleman at wherever you are. We are here because a man stood in the middle. We are remembering somebody because a man stood in the middle. The world is looking for middlemen.